everybody. This is, for me, one of the most important sessions of this year's programme. It's important because for many years now we've had sessions on disabled access, disability and tourism and so on. But we've always focused on the wealthy disabled travellers. And I had hoped that we would have a much larger panel for this session of people who work, if you like, with the more disadvantaged people. Most people who are disabled struggle to find enough money even to have days out, let alone to go on holiday. But it's very difficult to make a reality of that in the context of a tourism show. If we were in Europe, it would be much easier. If we're in mainland, we are in Europe. Let me just be clear in the context of Brexit. We are in Europe. That was just a slip of the tongue. We're definitely part of the European continent, but we are an offshore island. If we were in France or Germany, there'd be a whole tradition of solidarity tourism, which we don't really have in the UK anymore to the same extent. It used to be much stronger than it is. But I do want to keep coming back to this issue because it's an important part of thinking about what travel and tourism potentially represents for a society. So we have two very, very different presentations this afternoon. John Kinnear, have I got that right, John? John Kinnear is from the Family Holiday Association, and they essentially raise money and provide holidays for very disadvantaged families, I think it's fair to say. And you can talk about the range of disadvantage that your organisation works with. At the other side of it, we've got Unseen Tours, which has now been replicated, interestingly, lots of cities. I seem to hear about a new one every month or so. And this is giving a tourist or a resident of the city, a citizen, a totally different experience of their own city through the eyes of someone who is homeless or has been homeless, and who therefore sees the city in a quite different way from someone who commutes in or travels in or lives in a nice apartment block in the city. So two very different presentations, but both in a sense, what they have in common is this issue of the interaction between disadvantage and tourism. John, you've been asked to go first. This is John Kinnear from the Family Holiday Association. If we could just slip the slide up.
Thank you. Is there a clicker? Yeah. So hi, thanks for coming along today. My name's John Kinnear. As Harold said, I'm from the Family Holiday Association. So going to really whiz through who we are, what we do, and how we help families who really have never had a holiday before or even a day out. I think it's really important for people like Artarity to be at events like this today because I think the tourism industry actually makes a massive difference to people's lives, and I don't think perhaps the industry quite realises the difference that it makes. So hopefully we can chat a bit about that as well. So we've been around for over 40 years. We've helped tens of thousands of families all across the UK. We provide anything from a day out to a few days away at a caravan or in a hotel. And we're really proud of the work that we do to show the research, to research and show the difference that the holidays and days out makes. And I'll talk a little bit more about that and the difference. 40 years ago, the charity was started by a couple called Pat and Joan Lawrence, who sadly lost a child and were having a really tough time. And someone gave them a week's break in his flat in Southend. If you're from the UK, you'll know where Southend is, Kent Coast. And they had such a good time, it gave them a real chance to heal and to rebond as a family, that years later they were successful in life and they still remembered that week's holiday they had back when they were having a really tough time, and so they started the charity. And 40-something years later, this is what we managed to do last year. So we've helped over 4,000 families last year. We get some really fantastic outcomes. Now, the families that we help are all on a low income and they all have children under 18. And that's about it. We don't say you have to have a disability. We don't say you have to be a carer. We don't say anything like that because we think that everybody deserves a holiday. But you can see up there on the top right of the screen some of the issues that the families are facing. So almost 2/3 have mental health issues. Over a third have experienced domestic violence, which is really quite a staggering statistic. And there's lots of other issues and challenges that the families have, which means that not only don't they have the money to go on holiday, but they just don't have the headspace for it. They don't even think that a holiday would be good for them or what they could manage. And that's what we try and do, to show the difference that it can make, and also the professionals like social workers and teachers who refer them to us to really say the difference that it makes. So we work with a whole bunch of partners. As well as raising money, like Harold said, we also get donations from loads of people on that list that you see there. So all partners who want to reach out and engage more families who would never otherwise get the opportunity to visit. It's not about them diverting their ticket sales and their to people that would come anyway. These are families that would never normally go. So we've got a really good bunch of partners on board, like London Zoo, Visit Scotland, Visit Kent, YHA, I could go on. So as Harold said, across Europe, social tourism is a much bigger thing. It's much better funded by state and by government. In the UK, there's a little bit of it, but it's all at a kind of charity level. So that's just some stats there around how it works in the UK. So really, it's a bit piecemeal. It's not really coordinated, but that's what we're trying to change. And then I think some of the important things, like I alluded to, the difference that holidays make. And I think we've kind of categorized them into four main ways. The improvements in mental health, we see time and again, that's a big thing. Improve family relationships, improve self-efficacy, which is a family's belief that they're able to achieve something. And lastly, families have fun and create happy memories, because over a third of the children that we help have never been to the seaside before. If you think you live in the UK and no one's that far from the seaside, that's quite sad. We have 10, 11-year-olds who go to the beach for the first time and are scared. They're scared because they've never seen that space, they've never been on the sand before. And actually, I think that's something that we're happy that we can help change, but also it's quite sad that we have to do that. Just some quotes here that I think really show the difference that the holidays make. We hear time and again about parents who come home and they're able to take the train for the first time afterwards with their kids. Parents who never used to even go to the park before, but after coming back from holiday, they've managed to achieve something. They've managed to go somewhere new. They've managed to check into a hotel or a holiday park for the first time. They've managed to be with their kids for a week in a different environment, which actually is quite scary for a lot of parents. You know, how am I going to cope without my usual support systems in place? How am I going to entertain the children when we do that? I should also say that the breaks are all free for families, and where we can, we provide money for transport or transport tickets if we've got someone like ScotRail or GWR involved. Improve mental health. Again, like I said before, over 60% of our families experience mental health issues, which is a massive statistic. And again, something we see time and again, we get reports from families and the people that work with them to say, it's like seeing a different person. It's like they've come back from the holiday, completely different from before, more ready to face the challenges, more ready to engage and have fun with their kids, and just be a proper family. And that's something that we really aspire to do more of. Improve family relationships. One thing that I think this really shows is we did some research, and over 80% of families where there was attendance issues in school, attendance actually improved after the break. Now that's a real, everyone in the UK certainly at least is worried about holidays and breaks and school time and things like that. But actually, if you've got families that are struggling, giving them a holiday helps improve their attendance. So actually, it's not just a nice to have. Holidays and breaks really can make a massive difference on children and families' futures. You know, by going to school, they get better attainment, they get better grades, and they actually have a better life. And lastly, people have fun. That's what holidays are all about, isn't it? And I think, like I said there, a third of children visited the beach for the first time, which is massive. Most families, it was their first holiday together. And that's just things that people will remember forever. I know myself, I can remember my family holidays from when I was very small. And what we're doing is giving people a chance of having those memories that will hopefully last a lifetime. Lastly, what I'm going to briefly talk about today as well is our new online platform. So this is a really easy and simple way of referrers and social workers and people getting holidays for families they work with. So you can see there they can apply for a short break or a day out or a group trip. Group trips are great for families where they actually just wouldn't have the confidence to go away by themselves. So maybe a social worker, a teacher, a support worker will take a group of families away because the parents just wouldn't be able to cope by themselves. But that act of going away, going to the local town, to a museum, going to the seaside, going to an adventure park or a petting zoo, working farm, actually gives them the confidence to do more things like that in future. So that's what the group trips are really, really great for helping those families that just wouldn't have the confidence to do it by themselves. You can see all the partners that we've got involved and who we can really easily match up with the families, because we've got a network of over 4,000 referrers that actively refer to us. So that's people, like I said, social workers, teachers, who work directly with families and make applications to us. And that's across 95% of local authority areas in the UK. So we've got a really good spread for quite a small charity and organisation. Just people can book accommodation, transport, packages like you would expect on a normal holiday website. People can do that through our system as well. So it makes it really easy for everyone involved. And then lastly, some of the stats that I was telling you of, it collates and gathers the feedback, because what we hear a lot of as well is for businesses who donate product to us, it's a really fantastic way of engaging their staff. Their staff feel really proud to work at those organisations. They really feel passionate about the families that they're helping and the difference that they make. And we gather those stories there from talking to families, but also through the system as well, so we can really provide that colour and that difference that it's all going to make. Like I've said there, why does the industry work with us? We're a really great way of reaching all across the UK. We work with over 100 partners at the moment, soon to be more. We work with thousands of referrers. And that means we can really get to the families who need it most. Because most of the families we help aren't sitting there thinking, I wish I could go on holiday, if only I had the money, if only someone would help me. It's just not even in their heads. And that's how our system works really, really well. It's a simple and easy process. So national organisations just work with us, can reach families all across the UK, and only have to deal with me and my team of 2.5 people. And we're generally quite nice to work with most of the time. Just lastly, the research thing we're really passionate about. We really believe in showing the difference that breaks make. So we've just got some money from the government. They don't put much money into social tourism, but they're funding this research for a PhD with Nottingham University looking at the impact of holidays on self-efficacy. So that just started in October. So that's really exciting. We've done other universities and research as well, and there's some lists there that I'm sure if you speak to me afterwards, I can email you this presentation afterwards so you can get all that information there. And lastly, that's why we do it, really, because we help families who just would never get the opportunity to have a holiday or a day out. And I think what I've been involved in working with charities for over 15 years, I worked on all sorts of projects, and the difference that a holiday or a day out makes, it's really simple, it's really easy, but it really can change lives, and that's what the power of tourism can do. So that's my details there. I'll be around afterwards if you want to have a chat. And then, yeah, if you want to get in touch, chat to me afterwards. I hopefully, if you're in the UK, talk to me. If you're not in the UK, come and talk to me as well, because I'm sure there are things going on in the countries where you are, because we've got lots of links with other partners there who I'm sure you could link up with.
Thanks very much indeed, John.
So thank you.
So John, do you want to take a seat?
Yes.
And Janie, Unseen Tours.
So hello, everyone. I'm Janie, I'm one of the volunteer directors of Unseen Tours, and I'm here with Viv, one of our tour guides, and also there's David here as well, who does our London Bridge tours. And today we're going to talk to you about our London-based social enterprise, Unseen Tours. Now, it probably comes as little surprise that most organisations and countries and tourism businesses don't really engage with homeless people very much. So you may have seen headlines like this during the royal wedding last year. You may have also remembered the London Olympics when homeless people were displaced from London and forcibly removed. And also unfortunate events like this in Spain a few months ago where a British group on a stag paid a homeless man to get a tattoo on his face. And this is kind of what we want to change. We really believe that homeless people do have an active role that they can play in tourism and the hospitality industry. And we hope that our story will inspire you to see that this is possible and it's actually quite easy, really. So Unseen Tours is a social enterprise, like I said. We're based in London. We started off with a voluntary group called the Sock Mob, who were a group of volunteers who went onto the streets of London, spoke to a lot of homeless people that they met and interacted with them, used the ice-breaking power of a pair of socks and a cup of coffee to really get to know these people really well and saw the potential that these people had to share their stories and their experiences because they knew the community so well. And it was this initial idea and this meeting with the people that the Sock Mob met that started Unseen Tours in August 2010. Since then, we've employed 21 homeless and formerly homeless tour guides who have shown visitors a historical London through the lens of homelessness, weaving in their own stories and experiences into the tours. So we're a social enterprise and we're not for profit. At least 60% of our profits go directly to our tour guides. And the rest of the money goes towards paying for mobile phone bills, the travel expenses, marketing and transport costs, like I said. All of us, all volunteers, have full-time jobs, and that's how we always want to remain so that our tour guides get the most out of this opportunity as well. One of the main goals of Unseen Tours, other than providing an opportunity for homeless and vulnerably housed people, is also to challenge people's perceptions of homelessness. Many people would not ordinarily speak to street homeless people, for example, and have negative stereotypes about homelessness and don't actually realise how easy it is for any one of us to become homeless at any time. Some of our guides, for example, had really successful careers, but it just took one thing to go wrong and they ended up on the street or another form of homeless. And after that, it was really difficult for them to get out of the situation. So that's something that we're really keen to highlight in our tours. And Viv and David and other guides really do a good job of highlighting how easy this is to happen. So how does participating in tourism benefit homeless and vulnerably housed people? We'll be talking to Viv a bit later on today to hear how Unseen Tours has helped her. And please feel free to talk to David a bit later too. But in essence, we think that our tours help gain confidence and public speaking skills, as well as other skills, through the way that we create and plan these tours in collaboration with our guides. Some of our former guides have even gone on to working as tour guides for other organisations professionally. And for others, it has led to other work, a more steady form of income, and we even helped get them access to housing. So we work with our guides to plan each tour in a way that they share their own stories and research facts that interest them. They're always free to discuss their frustrations with society, their opinions on world politics, and in this way, our tours have this authenticity that other tours perhaps don't. We show tourists the parts of London that our guides know the best and really build their confidence and storytelling ability through the process. How does engaging homeless and vulnerably housed people benefit the tourism industry then? So as we saw in a presentation earlier, over-tourism, for example, is a really hot topic at the moment. And the way that our tours work, currently in Covent Garden, London Bridge, Shoreditch, Brick Lane, and our new tour in Soho, mean that all our guides have special connections with the communities that they're in. And these are areas that our guides live in, where they spent a lot of time getting to know the local community, and they're part of a social fabric in those areas also. So this means that the communities also benefit from tourism because our... Because our guides are part of a local economy, they spend in the local economy, and the local communities really do benefit, sorry. How can projects like this challenge attitudes and stereotypes through tourism? As I said before, one of our aims as an organisation is to challenge people's stereotypes about homelessness. And many of the visitors we have on our tours have never had meaningful interactions with homeless people before, and they tell us that our tours really open their eyes and minds to the realities of homelessness. Some guides have then gone on to volunteering at homeless shelters and even set up their own projects in different cities after coming on our tours, and this is something that we're always actively supporting through our work. And finally, following last year's WTM, some of us have started a network of organisations who work with groups who are more commonly marginalised and disadvantaged by the tourism industry. And we'd love for you to join us and share in our network. You can email me on the email on the screen if you'd like to join, and I'd be happy to add you to the network. So the goal of the network is to support organisations that work with people who would not otherwise have the opportunity to engage in and benefit from tourism. We also work with organisations that challenge attitudes and stereotypes that people have through the tourism and hospitality industry. Whether we work with slum communities, including townships and favelas, homeless people, refugees, and other groups that are often disadvantaged in the tourism industry, this network is for everyone to share ideas, find solutions to problems that we all have encountered through our projects, and hopefully enrich the tourism industry in a way that may not otherwise be possible. Now I'd like to hand over to Viv to share a bit about her experience at Unseen Tours.
No, I don't need a piece of paper. So my name is Viv, and I do the Covent Garden to a Temple to Covent Garden tour. I started with Unseen Tours in 2010, and I started off with London Bridge. We only had two tours at the time. We did London Bridge and Shoreditch. We've got a few more now. I actually slept rough in the Covent Garden area, so my tour follows the route where I used to sleep, and so you get my story on the tour. Brain's gone. We talk about history as well as homelessness history. And like Janie said, we kind of try and change people's perception of what it's like to be homeless. Some people say you're only two wage packets away from being on the street, so you never know what can happen. I also work with another organisation called Pathway on a volunteer basis, which helps homeless people when they go into hospital, and they help them when they come out with train care navigators. That's my sideline. The tours are my main thing. And it's quite interesting because you get to meet lots of different people, and we do student tours and we do individuals. We've got local people, we've got people from Europe, we've got people from all over the world. And we do a real tour, not Harry Potter within ones sort of thing. I don't know. Got lost. So anyway, at the moment we've got five tours. We've just lost our Camden tour guide. He's become a pensioner, so he's withdrawn. But we've still got five tours, which is London Bridge, Shoreditch, Brick Lane, Covent Garden, and Soho, which is the new one we've got.
Could you tell us what you enjoy about Unseen Tours and why you enjoy being a tour guide, perhaps?
Oh, it's my life. I love it. I love telling... I'll say a quote from Samuel Johnson. "Why, sir, you find no man at all intellectual who's willing to leave London. No, sir, for when a man is tired of London, he's tired of life. For in London, you have all a life can afford." I love London, what can I say? And the tours we do, we show people a different side of London. So you don't go to the normal tourist areas. You get kind of, you get tourist areas as well, but you also get sort of different things. Like, I'll go on up to the Roman bar, to the back of the King's College University. I talk about ghosts on my tour, and I talk about homelessness, and I talk about where people can go and day centres and how they get food, how they can get showers, stuff like that, and what practical for people on the street. So, yeah. I don't know what else I can say.
Okay.
All right. Fine. Thank you.
Thanks very much indeed, Janie, for that and for all three presentations. We've got about 10 minutes for questions. Who'd like to have the first question?
To the Unseen, why have you opted for a social enterprise as opposed to a charity, which a lot of people would maybe sometimes say, "Oh, are you a charity?" You know, like, why have you chosen to be a social enterprise?
Should I take that?
Yeah, go on.
So one of the main reasons for being a social enterprise is that we want to be as sustainable in our model as possible. We believe that tourism has potential to generate regular income for our tour guides, and that's one of the main reasons. Just to make it as sustainable as possible and to grow in that way.
I also think it makes the point that this can be a business. It may be a business in which people aren't paid all that much, but it's still a business and it turns over, and so it's been very successful and now been replicated in a number of cities. So.
Thank you very much for two absolutely fantastic presentations, very inspiring. My first question is to John, about how do you make bridges with different referrers, active referrers? Could you tell us a bit about that process? Because to have 4,500 is very impressive and very interesting. Just a bit about how, I've got ideas of people who might be good referrers as well.
Yeah, basically it's all done online. So referrers find out about it through colleagues, through looking on Google. I mean, basically every year we manage to match up all of the stock of holidays and days out we have with our referrers. So we haven't done a massive advertising push, but as we grow and expand with our new system and with our new capacity for getting more donations in of breaks and days out, absolutely. You know, we get 30, 40 referrers a day signing up. Anyone who wants to be a referrer, I can give you my card afterwards and you can pass on my details and they can just get in touch and sign up and start referring families.
Anybody else with a question?
So thank you very much indeed. I'd be very interested to know, how do you actually get on one of your tours? Look, I don't live in this country, but I fly into London very regularly. I've never heard of such a tour until I came here.
What is that?
That's about Unseen Tours.
Is that for us? Yeah. Well, we've got our own website, but a lot of it's word of mouth. We don't have money to advertise.
No.
They're
not interested. It's quite a niche market at the moment, so we're hoping to get some more partnerships in the longer term. But at the moment, we just do it through our own marketing, our own social media, and our own website. And that's where you can book the tours to join us. And we have a tour at least every day, at least one tour every day. And we'd love for you to join us.
David's going to answer this in a moment. I just wanted to add that there are actually very similar projects now in lots of cities. One of the problems, I think, David, is how we get these different groups in different cities. So we know there's one in Barcelona, there's one in Edinburgh, there's another one starting up in the east of Scotland. But there's no network for those. Janie and I have talked about this before. But we really need to find a way of making that happen.
And just to add to that, that's the reason we started to do this travel cast and project to get us all to work together. And we all have very similar goals and similar things that we want to change attitudes about. So if we all come together, share our knowledge, our expertise, and just a platform, it would be beneficial for all of us. So that's what we're hoping to do.
Earlier this year, I had a tour with TUI, T-U-I. Yeah, so they know about us, and they can spread the word as well, and they've got a much bigger, wider span than what we have.
That was with John DeVee Allen. I was supposed to be on that tour, but I missed it. I'm guilty. I just wanted to make a personal appeal. If there's anybody in the room with the social marketing skills who'd like to set up that international platform, I'll help you do it. I've been wanting to do it for a long time. I can give you the web space, but I just don't have the time to actually make it happen. But I think it would be an amazing thing if we could make that happen and people could start to share. Because there's all the people who've done the Unseen London tours who, if there was a website, could be encouraging others to do it, not just within the country, I accept that you're doing that, but it's that international aspect.
Yeah.
So somebody who's had the experience in Barcelona can come to London and find it easily, or go from London to Edinburgh. That we're not making the progress on that we ought to make. So if there's anyone in the room who'd like to do that, I'll give you the chance. I'll talk to you at the end. That'd be fantastic if you do that. Are there any more questions? Anything anybody else would like to say? Well, can we thank a really splendid and, for me, very important panel? And we'll make sure, won't we, Jeremy, that if this actually happens, we'll flag it up as having started in this room if we manage to get that platform off the ground. Thanks very much, everybody.